I did take ed technology courses. I was the education person. Everyone else were the tech people, and I felt completely lost. I'm definitely a teacher at heart versus a techie. So I hope that that can show you that this isn't as intimidating as it sometimes seems to be. My title, Say Yes to the Tech, seemed like there was a lot of that show on recently. Yes. And I think maybe it had something to do with a wedding that was happening about a week ago. And as that was all happening, there was just a lot of discussion around the dress. And in that, the process of finding the dress. You have to try on a lot of dresses to find that one dress. And I really felt like when I heard that this was a hands-on session, so if you have a computer, feel free to open it up and follow along and click along with some of this if you'd like. The hands-on side of this is really, you need to play with these tools. It's not as easy to just go to these conferences and hear about them all and then say, well, I'm going to go home and, yeah, I will use all of these in my classroom. That really isn't the intent. Just like the dress, just find the one that fits. Find the one that suits you. Find the one that really makes you feel like, yeah, this is what I could take on. Unlike the dress, we don't want you to take it on for the one day.
Your projector's working now?
I'm fine. Yep. Okay. The one day isn't the way to go when it comes to technology. You don't want to prep your students, teach them how to blog, learn all of the things about blogging, and then everybody go and create one blog post, and then you never look at it again. That's not the way to approach technology. The more you use it, the easier, the more intuitive, and the more a part of you, and less dominating as technology, but just as a tool it can become. So that was my premise behind this, that we want to not go through all of this process of finding something that works for us and only use it the one time. So instead of saying yes to the dress or saying yes to the tech, we're trying it on. So let's try on today a few things that present ourselves. Just like the dress, you present, you want to have the best face, put it forward. We're going to look at some of the things that we use in a classroom to present with, and PowerPoint is one of them. How many here have used PowerPoint with students or for yourself for teaching?
No.
That's pretty common. And if you're in a Mac environment and you use Keynote, so the same principles will apply with what I'm going to show you today. So we're going to look at some advanced features for PowerPoint, and then how can we extend the use of a presentation. SlideShare is a tool that will help us to do that. It helps us to share a presentation and then use additional features like commenting to take advantage of that. VoiceThread is another tool we'll talk about. VoiceThread is again a way to present but with additional enhanced features. And I really like this one. And then the tool that I never even got to talk about in my first session that I hope we can just at least look at is Prezi. Now, Prezi is something new to a lot of us, or maybe completely new to some of us. It is the way of not doing this linear presentation, slide after slide after slide, but being able to work in a kind of a mind mapping world of click here, zoom here, go here in a presentation style. Some of you might say, bells and whistles, I do not need that. It's just too confusing. Others might say, that's exactly what I've been looking for. I really hate the structure of a PowerPoint. I need more flexibility in my presentation style. So we'll look at the options. And again, you try on and see what fits for you. PowerPoint. So far, you've seen me use some things in PowerPoint that most of you have probably used before. Basically, text and images. I used one of my images as the background, and other ones I just used as little feature places. I also used shape. This bar right here is just a rectangular shape that I put, and then I stuck an image on top and stuck a text box on top. It's called a belly band, and it's a design technique to just hold your image and your text together and give it a little function. So for a design sense, just knowing how to put shapes onto your slides is something that can add a little bit. Simple animations. You saw me with the fly-in of, again, a white rectangle, and then a transition, the fly-in, the between slides. The animation was both two things at once, which was the fly-in of the rectangle and the let's try it on, and then this fly-in on a click. But there's more you can do. And there's two things that we're going to talk about today, hyperlinking and embedding. So, how many times do you feel like in the presenting mode, you're doing a lot of teacher talk? And as ESL teachers, that's the last thing we really feel like we should be doing. Why am I talking? Oh, stop it, sit down, let the students talk. But there's times where you really need to share information, and you need to do it in an effective way, an efficient way, and sometimes you just end up talking a lot more than you really wanted to. And some of that talk is things that you repeat every time you see every class. So it's something you repeat semester upon a semester. Those are the things that this enhanced features or doing it in a different way can really help you. You add a little bit of life to what really just seems like I'm doing this again. So hyperlinking is one of those. In the beginning of every course, we have a document that we have to share with the students. This is our course outline. We use these textbooks. We have this calendar. We have these goals. We have this setup, these expectations of you. I go through this piece of paper every first class, and I get really bored. And I'm sure the students, as they go through our program, every class, that's the new piece of paper that they get. And oh, this again? Just tell me what books I need to buy, and I'll go buy them. So that might be something. So I can interact with hyperlinks and do something different there. I can use my hyperlinks also to navigate. Maybe I want to loosen up this linear structure of a PowerPoint, and hyperlink can allow me to jump around a little bit within my presentation. So that's another thing that I could use it for. And then a lot of you have seen those Jeopardy or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire templates for PowerPoint. And it's simply using hyperlinking. So if you know how to hyperlink, you can create your own, you can adapt your own, you can do a lot of fun game or interactive things with it. You know, what is the answer to this, A, B, or C? Click on the different things and they find different answers. So lots of ways hyperlinking can be used. Let's look at an example, and this is the course outline. So instead of that document, that piece of paper I do every time, I could use an image of the things I would see on a desk. So when I look at this image, there are places that I can click and link. And I would find those by scrolling over and see how the cursor turns into a hand from an arrow. Arrow, hand. Arrow, hand. That tells me there's a link that I can go to there. So what do you want me to click on first?
Calendar.
The calendar. Let's click there. And that one, the hyperlink actually was broken. So, but it went to the right place because it's the next slide. It would go to my calendar. It might have all of my information about what the class is about, the schedule that we follow, my office hours, all of my scheduling information. But I also then want to be able to navigate back. So remember to give yourself a hyperlink back to where you started. So click to go back to the desk. What shall I click on next?
Candies.
Candies, I know that. What would you say for candies? Well, I might have a lot of fun, maybe games. Maybe I have some ESL games. I just picked one that I've shared with classes before, games for the brain. And you can see that this one has a hyperlink. But this hyperlink actually goes to a website. So I can hyperlink within the document. I can hyperlink to a document, like a Word document or a PDF. And I can hyperlink to a website. So I've got different options. Click and go back to the desk, and I'll just show you that binder goes to maybe the information of things I want them to have to organize themselves for my class. I want them to have tabs, a binder, lined paper, pens and pencils, flash drive, things like that. And then the textbooks. Something that I can't do with my paper document is lead them to the companion sites for all my textbooks. But if I have this on my class website as a way to introduce our syllabus, then they've got links to all kinds of things that they can go to. So if they want to go to the Focus on Grammar companion site and get all of the additional activities and exercises there, I could put in hyperlinks to other things. So this is just one example. And as I would share this, I could do it either in front of the class as a little interactive presentation, or I could share that in their computer lab or on their class website so that they can review it anytime. And if somebody joins my class on the second day, they still have a fun way to engage and find out all the information rather than just handing them this piece of paper that, believe me, somebody who comes on the second day is never going to read all of that information. They just want to know what books to buy. All right, so I'll click on the pencils and that's the end of that. That's hyperlinking. And if we have a little time, I'm not going to promise anything this time around. I'll show you how to do that. But I do have a demo that's on my website. So let's just actually click out because I didn't show you that. I knew I didn't. I missed something. The very first slide had a website at the bottom, sroads.wikispaces.com. That's where I will post, and it already is there. I have my Say Yes to the Tech presentation, and then I have the link that will take you to all the models of what I'm going to show you today. So my PowerPoint is here, and then also the other things that we're going to look at. So it's sroads, S-R-H-O-D-E-S, .wikispaces.com. And this will be linked from the e-learning site as well, because that's going to be the place that you get everything from today. sroads.wikispaces.com. So I'll go back and resume this. Okay. So there'll be information on how to do the hyperlinks there too, if we don't get to it today. That's what I meant to say, is that anything that we don't have time for, or that you think, oh, I didn't really catch that, she went pretty quickly, go there, do it again. I think that that's really helpful after a presentation, is to have a place to go. So you've got hyperlinking as a tool for games, for navigation, for different things you want to do in your PowerPoint. The other thing you might want to do is embed video. I've got a borrowed laptop, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to demo live how to do this, but I made a little screencast of how to do it, so we're going to watch that. Why would you want to embed video? Well, multimedia always is going to add a little bit of life to a lesson. You can use it to prime the pump. Before you do an activity, before you introduce a theme, let's watch a little video on it. You might do it as a conversation starter and get them talking about something. There's lots of news pieces and things like that, educational, but just for fun as well. So it can be instructional, illustrative, all of these things. Now this is the video that's not working. This was my demo of how it works so beautifully. And then I'm on a borrowed laptop and it doesn't work at all. So, sorry. But that would have been the video that I'm going to now show you the video of how it works. This one's working, I don't know why. Okay, so if you watch, I'm actually doing the steps right here. So I'm on my YouTube and I take the address from the top, and you can watch this again later. Take the address and copy that from the top of the page. Then I go to the slide, which I just showed you and it didn't work. I go to a tab called Developer, and some PowerPoints might not have that activated, so that's what you need. The tab developer has a little button here, it's a little cross tools, and then it opens this pane, and I will add a shockwave flash object. Don't write any of this down. It gives me the option to open up a little box, that's where my video will go. And then I look at the properties of this little box that I just made, it opens another new window. So I've added the little box using Developer, and now I'm going to set the properties of this little box to be a video. And on this little box, I've got lots of options. One is movie, and that's where I put my address. So I just punch in, or just cut, you know, cut paste. Yeah, the YouTube address here, which I'm thinking about, and now, oh yes, that's what I have to do next. And then, what will be written down for you, not, you can't see it, is that you have to change two things in the address. You have to delete a little bit of the text, and you have to change a question mark into a slash. I don't know why, but it makes it work. So I've done those two things, taken out a little bit of text, changed, and then I go loop. I don't want it to loop and play and play and play, so I'll change that to false. And play, I don't want it to play automatically, I want to have them control when to start it, so I change that to false. This is all on a step-by-step sheet, okay? So don't worry about that. And it makes it work. And that was the slide working that now is not working. Ta-da! Real English. So it's just a few steps, but they're not steps that you would just automatically know how to do. It's a little bit tricky. But once you've done it 15, 20 times, and you're just adding them pretty routinely, it becomes just a, oh yeah, okay, now I go to that, and that, and it's in. And now I've got a video that works right within my PowerPoint. So right here, I've got on the PowerPoint slide, this is the step-by-step instructions. It's from WikiHow. And then the video on YouTube that I just showed you of how to do it is there. So you can go to them that way. Oh, I don't want to now though. Stop. Oh, see, this is where my brain, there it is. So this is how to do, how to embed. And it just goes through these steps, right? Do this, change the little text, change to change. And then it also tells you how to do it if you don't have internet and you want to play the video in your class. Remember though, if you do that, do you have the copyright permission to download that video? But it tells you, if it's something that's shared, it's created to share, I make everything I do on the web Creative Commons, I figure that, you know, we're using it for education, we're good. But if it's somebody putting up, you know, some movie clip that they don't have a right to do that, I wouldn't be using that. Okay. So let's go back, resume. And next slide. All right, so we've looked at hyperlinking and we looked at embedding. Now, if we have a little sample PowerPoint, I want to show you now the other tools and how you can use it in a different way. So I've used sometimes PowerPoints in stages. I don't want the first time the student gets up with a PowerPoint to be the big project. That can happen though, doesn't it? Where that's the first time that we're seeing them in front of a PowerPoint is when it's counting for all the grades. And maybe we've done little speaking activities before, but being able to present in front of a PowerPoint is a different skill. I want them to build that skill. So I'll give them little tiny tasks like make one slide. That's all. You have control of one slide. And you have only the option to add an image and add a and one word. So it's maybe the introduction of pick a picture and a word that describe you. We'll do this in the first week, and then everybody's got just that first entry into how to use the PowerPoint. Then later we'll do a couple slides, then we'll do four slides, and then we'll build to their big presentation. So here's an example of one that I might have students who've done a number of different tours on different tour sites, and maybe they're all creating something to share of what they did for their little partner project. Or it might be that I'm going to take them on a field trip and I want to introduce the site to them before. So I made one for Heritage Park. Again, I used the belly band, put in that with my image. That's going to be consistent on every slide to give it a theme. You can use the themes that come with PowerPoint. I like a plain white screen though, so I use the color in that. Personal choice. All right, then I use the word art, put that in. So I've got slide one. Slide two, woohoo, Oh, no. It's speeding up like a speeding train. I don't know why. Okay, here we go. I don't know. This is really having fun for me today. So again, I can embed a little video, have my image, and then get up and present. Sure, this park has wonderful scene trains. Maybe turn the sound off. And so you've got slide two. Oh, no, I hyperlinked it, so now... Because when you embed, it automatically actually hyperlinks. So you can jump out to the full video if you want to. Next slide. Again, it's got a little embedded video just walking around Heritage Park and then some images, but no audio track that is voice. That's what the students provide or you provide. And then this last one, when you embed video, the way that we do that with the address, well, every YouTube video has an address, but not every YouTube video is available to embed. There's an embed code at the bottom of a YouTube video. You use that if you're going to add it to a wiki or a blog, but sometimes people disable that feature. And so I went to embed this video and it was disabled. So instead I just put an image and then I added a hyperlink again, using the hyperlink tool. I added the hyperlink that would take me to the page because they are fine with me watching the video of the steamboat on YouTube, but they don't want me putting it somewhere else. So I just use a hyperlink to go there. So there's my four slide PowerPoint presentation. If I want to do something else with this, I need to save it. And I have some different options. If I don't save it and use it in other ways, then really, it's all that work for one day, 5 minutes, stand up, talk, and the students have spent a lot of time, and it's done and it's gone. And there's no extension, there's no life to what they've created. So I think that there's opportunities to really take what they've done and use it in better ways. All right. So I want to save my PowerPoint. Now, if I'm going to put it on my class website, I have a Blackboard site, a course management system that we use. But if I didn't have that, I might have a wiki. If you don't know about wikis, come on June 2nd. Who's doing wikis? Somebody's presenting. Oh. Hello. I'm really, wikis, I love wikis. So come on June 2nd, learn about those. Or have a blog, you can embed it there. So save it as a PowerPoint show, and then it doesn't open up PowerPoint and all the editing, and you'd have to view it and start it. It just shows it like a little movie. Click, 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 but it's there. So save it as a PPS, or PPSX, not a PPT. And then you've saved it as a show. You can save it as a PDF doc if there's some reason that you want to share it that way. Or, and this is the one that I like, that you can save your PowerPoint as pictures, a JPEG. And that's something that I don't think we do enough of, because there's options then to use those slides in different ways as images. All right, so pretend I've saved it now. And I want to put it somewhere. Well, the first place I'm going to put it, I can save it as a show. I can save it just as a regular PowerPoint. I don't need to have it as images. That'll come later. So this is SlideShare. SlideShare is a place where people save and share presentations. There's a lot of professionally developed, beautiful presentations here that you can get a lot of learning out of. I love just browsing this site. If I didn't go to a conference like TESOL in the States, I can find a lot of the presentations here. I can find a lot of things that are shared here for free. So lots of good learning. If I want to do this with my students, they can then share with each other. But what I like is when it's on this site, there's also comments. So if they've shared this in the class, now they can comment on each other's presentation. Or maybe the slide itself has a question on each slide and the students can answer the question if you want to use it as a a discussion starter or a preliminary theme introduction, then put something here to, what do you know about, and what do you think about, and how would you do this, and have the students use the comments to extend that discussion. So there's lots of a benefit to sharing it and then being able to view it later outside of the one-time use. Being able to upload it, when you sign in, you just use that upload button. And it really just asks you to browse for it on your computer. Up it goes. It takes a little while to convert it. I attempted to show that in the last session. No, it was a little time waster. So we won't do that. But it's really just upload, browse, there it is. And up it goes. You can save onto this a number of different formats. Let's see if it shows me. Oh, it doesn't say it on this page, but what it takes is it will take images, it will take documents, PDFs, Word documents. You can share a lot of different content this way if it's something you want to put out there and share. And again, being very careful, because that Heritage PowerPoint, that's not all my images, but I made sure every image was Creative Commons licensed. So do make sure that what you put up here is something you have the right to post, because that you have to click and say, yes, everything was mine, or I had, you know, it's there's permission to post it. So I always use Creative Commons licensed images from Flickr, and that's how I find things for presentations. I've got other options here. I can download, I can embed it and move it like I have it on my wiki. I could email it to somebody. So there's lots of ways to extend your presentation. I think it should be standard that ATESOL after conferences, everybody just puts everything on SlideShare, and then we have it all available.
Can I just ask, is everything on Flickr then Creative Commons?
No. You can do an advanced search and limit your search to Creative Commons licensed photos, and there's pages and pages.
Yeah, that's really good to know.
Beautiful. Yeah, I use Flickr for, and I teach my students Flickr. F-L-I-C-K-R, no E, .com, as a place to get images for their PowerPoints, because then I know I can post them, they can post them, they can do things with them that are shared on the web. You want to make sure they know that as well as you know that. All right, I'm going to really be aware of the time here, and let's get back to this. So SlideShare is a tool that you can use to share. But, again, maybe you want to extend it one thing further and add narration. You can narrate PowerPoint. I don't know if you've ever tried that. In the same place where you view the slideshow, it says record narration. I find that whenever I've tried it, it's failed on me. I need to get a little more proficient at it. And my next tool, I think, is a better option for what I do with things. But you can record your narration to go right with your PowerPoint. But when you upload to this, it might not keep things together. So if you want to have it on SlideShare and narrated, here's a way to do that. You just have a separate MP3 audio track. Maybe you use a little digital voice recorder or your MP3 recorder. You have your audio track of you as you viewed or presented your presentation, and then it just gets uploaded along with it. So, that's SlideShare and SlideCast. VoiceThread, love. This is a tool that, now, SlideShare was free, and there is a pro option to have more things that you can do with it. VoiceThread is also free, but a little bit more limited in what you can do for free. Not in the fact of the features, but more so in the fact of how many you can have. I have multiple email addresses. I don't know if that's true for any of you. So, you get 3 per email address. I can create a few more email addresses if I really need to, but I've found that with my 3 and with each VoiceThread allowing me to post 50 slides, I only need 1 for my class, because I can use 50 slides and do a number of different activities during the term. So I'm okay, and then I can move on and clear those and start up. So I took my same PowerPoint presentation. This time it's in image format. And I uploaded it. So let's escape and go to this presentation. This is the VoiceThread site. I go to the ones that I've created. Heritage Park is right here. And it's really soft because I was recording this in our open concept office. So I was kind of whispering into my microphone. But I can now add my narration directly to each slide.
I've chosen Heritage Park as my
So the students
attraction.
Have that option too.
This is Canada's
they
largest
can talk about it
museum.
Right
it's
on the slide. And as I go through the different slides, I've narrated each one. And I did it using this. But there are five recording options for VoiceThread. So if I wanted to add a comment, maybe I'm the student now, or maybe this is a student presentation and I'm the teacher, I want to add a comment to their comment. I can build a whole community of comments around one slide. And my options, there's five. The first one is if I'm a student doing this at home for homework, I can use my telephone. I just type in my phone number, a little automated phone call comes to me, please record your message, and beep, I make my comment. It can get added directly to the web page, and it's there. Isn't that lovely? So I've had, we tested that out, it works, no problem. It's, I think, North America, you're fine, the system it's on. I also could use a webcam if I want to make the comments and talk to the student and have them see me. I can sit in front of my computer and use my webcam and do that if I don't have the external or if I that's the way I want to record my comment to them. Record is the button that I used, and I used this format or whatever microphone option you have. There's another audio option, and that's upload. So if you had a separate, maybe you have a full presentation and you have a separate audio file, just chop it up into the little sections and upload it, each one. That's if it's something that exists already. I don't think that it's typically the option you would use in the classroom. And type. So right here, I can comment type, 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 and it just adds it right there. As I'm typing or recording my audio, for whatever comment other than the telephone, I get this little palette. And this palette wheel allows me to doodle on the picture or the screen as I'm talking or typing. So if I want to say, yeah, that drugstore right here, that's where I bought that great candy. Or I want to ask a question of, what is she wearing right here? What kind of hat is that? I can say that, and then I save my comment. It will play it back for me. Now, I've got a few comments that I've done here. First is my audio comment, and then here's my little typing, and you can see the little doodle shows up during my comment. When my comment is done, the little doodle is gone. So it just comes with the student as they type, as they comment. Let me show you an example of how that works. This is one that we used for a low-level classroom. They're just making sentences of present tense. And this, again, is just a text screen that I made in PowerPoint, saved as a JPEG. So it's my image, and I put that up in as my upload. And then after that, I just uploaded images. So I had a number of pictures that they can talk about. And you can see how all of the students are commenting around the picture. It's great. They can use it to present their own presentation, and then students can ask questions. Or you can prepare something, and they all comment. Lots of different uses here. Let me find the picture that we have doodling on. So during this...
What does the man in the chair do?
So she's identifying which things she wants them to talk about.
What does the child do?
So she didn't know about this.
What does the woman do?
So I had just introduced it to her. That's why you can see we're in the middle of the recording. Other students are already recording their comments. And I said, Deborah, did you know that you can add little doodles in? And so she wanted to just play with that. And now she's made some of her own where she uses that to direct their attention. Or she asks them to identify things and doodle and talk about them. So again, extending a PowerPoint or going beyond what a PowerPoint is and doing something very, very new and really building a little community around what you're presenting. Okay. What time are we done? 12:15?
Yes.
Oh, we're doing good. You're going to see it all this time. All right. So my last one, and then we're going to demo a couple of those things. So I'm just going to show you everything, and then we'll demo a few things. Let me just see from current slide. So we've got VoiceThread, SlideShare, PowerPoint enhanced features, and now let's throw all that linear stuff out the window and look at something that's really quite, well, okay, it can cause maybe seizures, I don't know. You end up, yeah, be warned, if you don't look too closely at the screen if you get seasick. So we're going to look at a Prezi and how I turned that little PowerPoint into a Prezi. I didn't do much that was exciting with it. Let's go to again. Where did I put it? My models. And so this is the wiki where I embedded my SlideShare, I embedded my VoiceThread, and now I've embedded my Prezi. All right, and we're going to do this on full screen. I'm still learning this tool, which you will see, because things don't exactly line up perfectly. So what it is a canvas, and you put all the elements on the canvas, and then you can decide to just click around them and present that way, or you can set a path to move around. Okay? So you've got a canvas where you've thrown elements, text, images, video, anything you want, and I've set a path. So I'm saying from PowerPoint to Prezi, and then I zoom over to my first PowerPoint slide. And I zoom slide right next to my next. Now these were added as images again, so they're not active links for the embedded video, but I could add the video directly into the Prezi instead of having it there in these slides. This is just what the slides look like. So again, my four slides. Now I'm going to go to what I could do. Now see, you can see I have to learn how to line that up a little bit better. It zoomed into Heritage Park, but there was more on that. And it zoomed over to a little bit of text. Maybe this is what I would say about it. It's there. Maybe I think, you know what? It says it covers four different time periods. And somebody in the class says, what time periods does it cover? I can go, by the way, it covers those time periods. Ta-da! But if I didn't have that path set, I could just zoom into it directly. I set that as a path to show you. But if I left it out, it's there for me to remember so that I can zoom in if I choose to or not. Now, I can go to my next topic. Whoosh! See, you're flying around the screen. And there's the image that I had from my PowerPoint. And now, my video lives right on the Prezi canvas, and spin around, and now I'm at the historical village, and this is where I just kind of used, you know, you get those little slide things, right. What are those called? That they just pop around, the slide thing, whatever, the viewers, yeah. So I set mine up like that, so I'm just kind of scooching around all the images. There they are, and then upside down. And I can list that, and maybe I didn't choose to go there if I didn't set the path, but I could keep it there on the canvas. Right? Your path doesn't have to include every element. So maybe I think, there's my video that is on that. Maybe I think, we want to go back. I just use my scroll, and I can go out and see, oh, this is what it all looks like. I can pick any element and think, okay, let's go back to that image. So I've got this opportunity to move around. And if I want to just go back to the path, I just click my arrow again. And I'm back to where I was from my last image that I zoomed in on. Okay, paddle wheeler. And again, I've got that. I still can't embed that video. Right? That's not letting me embed it, so I couldn't do that. But I could put in links and I can do other elements. So this is a format that's maybe new, and really students would have a lot of fun with this, but would it really be enhancing what you want them to do in the classroom? That's the part that you have to decide. Is it just a toy to play with? Is it going to distract from what they're doing, or is it going to enhance? The one example I saw was they had an essay, and the essay was posted as text, and they could zoom in on aspects. Here's the thesis statement, here's your topic sentence, here this, and then they could zoom in even closer on a word, and then they had even embedded in the word, zoom in another layer, and it was a picture or a video of that concept. So you can do a lot of building of information. Let me show you one that does that, actually, because we have time. Unbelievably. I'm going to My Prezi's. And this is one that Prezi's allow you to copy and use what somebody else has done to then enhance and add your own. So I took one that someone had done on using it as a teaching tool, and I've been playing with it. I'm not done with this yet, but I'll just show you a couple of the features he had. Again, let's go full screen. So he's talking about, Paul Hill, he's talking about how to use it. I can just go straight through. There's so much more you can do. Okay, zoom in, zoom out. We saw that. I don't know why this is disappearing on me. So here's an example of this text. You can go right in on something. You can see a whole passage. And then you might say, oh, let's look at this word. What's the function of this word? What's it doing in the grammar? What, you could have little things embedded where you break down and examine a text. Back to the screen again. And then, oh, ladybug. That's a new word. So there's your, did you even know that was there?
No,
but again, if I scroll out, if I'm the one who made this and somebody says, okay, let's look, what new words are there for you? And somebody put up their hand, ladybug, what's a ladybug? I go, oh, it's this. Oops. Oh, okay, I'm going the wrong way. There, I have to find it there. Come on, ladybug. Yeah, so I could have little things prepped. And so maybe I have a model paragraph that I use every term that I really want to dissect with the students and really get them to see all the things I want them to understand about how this paragraph was put together, the words I chose, the grammar I used, the elements of it. Making that and reusing that over and over, great use of that kind of a tool. I'm just going to skip ahead. He talks about other things like using little diagrams, and then he goes through the whole seasick nature of it. But even something like a chart, he has that, and then he also does a timeline where he again zooms in on different aspects. So that's Prezi. It's really just as simple as picking all of your elements, putting them all on and then deciding how you want to manipulate it. But I'd say it's one of those tools that it's better to sit down with a piece of paper almost and map out what do you want to do with it before you get in there. It can get really messy. And it uses, when you go back out and you see it, well, he doesn't, oh yeah. That's what the original screen was. That's how he started, an image, and he just built everything into that. So you've got so much of the zoom in, zoom out capability to use there. Yeah, that's the one. Okay. So, those are the four tools. And we have some time now for me to go through and walk through the creating and doing of some of this. So, one thing that I can't do though is the embedding video, because I don't have that functionality. So, VoiceThread, hyperlinking, SlideShare is just upload something, so I don't think that we need to go and look at that one. Maybe VoiceThread. Is that the one that people think you'll probably go back and use? Let's create one, because there's a few steps to that process, and I think seeing how it works is a good example. So if I'm going to create a VoiceThread, we're going to start from the very beginning, which is the whole logging and sign out. Okay, so if I'm going to register, one of my other emails. And really, this is as much as you need to do to get started. So, first name. So you type in your first name, you type in your last name, put in your email, it's the long one. Holding my breath. This is my email to enter contests. Holding my breath. So it's all the spam mail, of course. Okay, so I've got that in. This is what your students would do in the lab. Now, do I need to do this? L. Okay, I never know. Should I cap or not? Oh, what wasn't done correctly? Oh, the words. Okay. Can you tell me what they are? Is it a T? E-T-W-O-R-R? Ecosystem. Oh, I really hate these things. Oh, okay. That's it, and I now have an account. So you can do that on your break. All right, now I'm going to create something. And I have... First, I have to put something on it. So if I've got my PowerPoint all as JPEGs, I can just go to my computer and find all those images and upload them. I can also, let's look at the media sources. I can use another VoiceThread that I made. So if I want to use the same pictures for two different activities, I can just pull them into a new one. I can use my account on Flickr. I can use photos from my Facebook account. So, out of the ESL world, put your family photos on there and everybody comments on why, you know, what was happening in this picture that Uncle Jerry was doing something crazy. And then I've got this gallery of 70,000, does it say that? Somewhere I read that. No, there, 700,000, oh, more, images that I can pull from. So let's just do that. I'm just going to pick something from... we're going to talk about song sheet covers. And click, 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 and import. Oh, wait, backwards, okay. So if I've just browsed and pulled them up from my own computer, either way, however you want to get your pages up. So I'll just close out of that. Now my VoiceThread has four slides. If I wanted to add the video, I would maybe have a URL. I can put in the middle a little webcam thing that I've created. So I could be in the middle screen and saying, all right, remember what we did, and this is what we're learning, and actually teach the lesson for those people who weren't in class. They can all do something on the outside. All right, so I've got my images up. If I want to narrate them at this point, I can, or I can leave it. Maybe it's an activity for the students to narrate. So comment, add a picture to this. Oh, because I'm a new identity, I don't have a little icon, so it just gives me a symbol. I'll do it later. So there's my image. If I want to comment, I'm going to type and picture one. Save, and there's my comment. So this is how you would then create the narration to go with it. There's a few things that I need to do. Let's get back to the full screen. I need to add a title and a description. So I'll click there and call this sample. And I need to set some things on the bottom. One is playback. They can automatically forward all the slides and start playing it when it opens. I'm going to uncheck that. I want them to have control of moving that forward. Do I want it full screen? No. And do I want others to make a copy? I don't really care. It's a sample. Okay. Export is something that I'd pay for. So after you've made these VoiceThreads and you have all your student samples around it, if you want to archive it, you have to pay, I think it's $2.99 to archive them for the free account. You get free archiving for some of them if you've paid for a pro account. It's $99 a year to get lots. We're going to share that as an institution. So that's something that you might consider if it's something you're really going to use in your program a lot. The next is embed. If I've made this and I want to put it into my class website so that they don't have to go somewhere else, I can embed it very easily into lots of places. Blogger is automatic, or the code is here to embed. And the last one is publishing options. Right now it's just something that I've created. No one can see it. It can't be used in any way. But if I want to get it up, that now makes it public. It doesn't mean that they can search for it. I'd still have to tell them where the link is. If I want it searchable, then I show it on the browse page. So you have some control of privacy that way, because it's not going to be something people can find using search or browse if you don't check that. It is still public on the web, but that you'd have to have the link. And if I'm controlling and not putting it on browse, then I know that I'm sharing the link with people I trust, so I'm going to let them comment. If I put it on browse, I might moderate the comments. Yep?
So just to clarify, it's $2.99 to archive it. Is there a cost to embed or publish it?
No. And another thing about the archiving, because somebody asked in the last session, I want to record these, I want to have a record of these student samples. I would just use a tool like Audacity that can live on your computer, and you can then just play all of the comments and record them that way rather than use the export option. You've got it for free, and then you've got the student samples. If you want to have the student voice all the way through, then you can just play one student and record that on Audacity and put all of the students' comments together in one file. So there's ways that you can manipulate that if you want to. So save that. I think that's really all. I would just need to get my link, and I do that by clicking on share and get the link. Copy the link. Copied to my clipboard. So the link is right there at the top if you didn't know what it was. But I mean, that just automatically. And I do have, you know, some colleagues and things under my contacts, so I can automatically let them know if I've shared something with the teachers. Oh, here's one I made for your level to use. All right, so I go to then My Voice, and this is where you'll find the tutorials. So these are really great. And they're automatically there for you. They'll walk you through every step. So those tutorials are going to be a really great source of support. And then there's my VoiceThread, ready to go. Anybody I share the link with can take a look. So it's made and it's ready. All you need is that initial idea of what those slides look like, whether that's a PowerPoint, whether it's text that you've put into a PowerPoint or images that you've put there, whether it's a webcam video that you've made. But again, it's a way of presenting that then extends beyond that one-time use and gives you options to comment, to share, to view outside of class, to go back and listen. So, did I show you the one that the teachers made? I'm in a different thread now. Okay. How are we doing? Okay. I think that's VoiceThread. I think you could all go and make one now if you wanted to. Does anyone have any questions about VoiceThread? And if not, I'm going to show you how to do the hyperlinking, because that's something that people asked about last session. Hyperlinking? Okay. So let me show you hyperlinking now in a PowerPoint. So we'll go back to my PowerPoint. So when you're working on it, you have the image or text, right? It doesn't have to be an image, but if it's like this, that's a full image and I only want to hyperlink a section of it. So I need to define that section. So the thing that I want to do is insert a shape. When I insert a shape, I then can hyperlink to the shape rather than hyperlinking the whole page. For example, if I click here, you can see there's a rectangle around this. And it looks like I put a rectangle with nothing in the middle, but that's not what it is. I'm just going to format and show you what this shape really is. So when you right-click, you can have the formatting buttons. The shape itself has a solid shape, but I have it set to transparency. Here's the shape. So I clicked around all the edges and made that shape. If you just want to put a rectangle or a circle or something, you have to find the shape, define it, and then because you want to see what's behind the shape, you want to make it transparent. Now, when I move over it, I can see that here I have an arrow, and here I have a little crosshatch. The crosshatch tells me there's a shape there. The arrow tells me I'm outside of the shape. So before, when it's active as a link, when I view the page, it becomes a hand, right? But when I'm on my editing page, it becomes crosshatched. So, for example, let's take this calendar. Oh, the calendar is working. Let's see. I'll just take a little corner here. I'll just hyperlink something here. Oh, and people do this, actually, because once this is on your web page, I've hyperlinked little tiny things like somebody's left eye, and I've said, click on her left eye, and you're going to go to a secret page. Yeah. They think that's pretty cool. And so it's like, can you find the secret word, or can you find some? Sometimes I put those little Easter eggs in there. It's really fun. All right, so I'm just going to put a little shape in. Right? Now, to add the hyperlink, it's right there. It's been there all the time. Did you actually look at it and like think? I think that sometimes what we do, we don't read all of the options that are there and think, oh, I've never tried that. There's another one called Action that you can make things happen, but that's another presentation. So I'm going to click, and I can add a web address right here. I can add a place in this document, which is another slide. So maybe I want to go, if I click there, I'll go to the very end, time to try it on. Say yes to the address, time to try it on, okay. And Or I could click to an email address. Now that way, if you put an image of your email address and then just click to your email address, people can email you. Oh, I should do that so that when you see my presentation, if you want to email, I'll add my email address as a hyperlink. Okay. Later. Alright, so okay. There, but again, I want it transparent, so I click here and right click, format shape, transparent, close. Ah, but I still have a little rectangle. Aha, I forgot. Format shape, let's see, where's the outline? Line style? No line. Yeah, line's gone, transparent fill. Let's try it. I'm on my page. Come over here. Arrow, 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 arrow. Ah, little hand. There's my secret, and it goes right to the end. Four possible activities. On my wiki, I had some suggestions of go and try this out for yourself. So, yeah. Okay, I think I'm just going to open to questions now and see where we at. Because that was hyperlinking, embedding. The embedding, I have a video showing how to do that. That's on the wiki. Then SlideShare, upload, pretty obvious how to do that. VoiceThread, we looked at it. Prezi, have fun with that if you want to. There's just lots of playing that you can do with the Prezi. So do you have any questions? Ideas of how you might use any of these? Do you think that any of these would be... Did you have an idea of, oh, I could do that with this?
One thing with hyperlinking, someone showed it to me a while ago and I started using it, and I found it actually kind of revolutionized my PowerPoints in class, because one thing I would do is, like with a low-level class, if you have classroom English that you give them at the start, then every PowerPoint I would use after that, because I used it every class, I'd have it at the end with a hyperlink. And so if a student, I could tell they didn't know what a word was, but if they said, like, teacher, what blah blah, and I just click the little hyperlink and this page would come up. I'd say, sorry, what did you want to ask me? And then they'd see the classroom English, and so that was really helpful. Or if there was a pronunciation question intonation, and they never remember that. You know, pronunciation, you have to bring it up again and again, but if someone asked, like, is it cold today? Sorry, what do we know about intonation and yes-no questions, and it would be right there. So I'd have these little...
That's fantastic.
And I found that it really helps reinforce these ideas for my students.
So you just put those kind of teaching slides at the end.
They wouldn't see, but they'd be hyperlinked.
And how would you hyperlink them, just in like a little corner of the...
I have two little icons that I would use, yeah.
Yeah, because you could just, again, put that somewhere on the page that's just not very...
Yeah, I would insert little icons. I'd hyperlink the icons.
Yeah. Great idea. Anyone else have an idea of, I'd love to try this in this way with my students?
Jenny, you make this all look as easy as eating apple pie, but it's in fact not if you're not in your trained.
You're right.
What type of training do you recommend for an IT dinosaur to master some of these skills?
I didn't have any. I just watch all the tutorials a lot. I'm really, really good at feeling like I'm going to take a risk, and somebody said it, I don't know if it was you, Jennifer, being comfortable with ambiguity.
That sounds like something.
Yeah, that you just have to be not afraid to click and think that everything's going to blow up if you click, because I think that that holds us back. Just like students when they're learning English and their own filters that go up, I think we have our own with technology, and I've just dropped all of mine. But I haven't. I mean, I think that having someone guide you through different options of how to do it, there's classes you can take, there's workshops, and there's online tutorials. But I've just played. I always, when I come to a conference like this, I always make sure that within a few days, I've played with something. Whether I end up adopting it or not, I try and make it something I just try out on my own. And I've created a million web pages out there, or little tools, and I just try them with, you know, a little image from my family, or, you know, there's the family dog or things like that. I don't use them necessarily in the classroom until I've played with them a little bit just on my own. But you're right. It's not a comfortable thing for everybody. And I do find that I Google every question I have and I watch training videos. There's training videos for almost any tool you want to find. Yep.
I'm curious how you put together the video on embedding, because that was another...
Yeah. So I use a thing called Screener, just like Flickr and all these other things with no E. It's Screen R. And you simply, again, log in by saying, here's my name and here's my email address, and then you click record, and it will record for 5 minutes anything you do, and then you click upload to YouTube. That's it. There's no other steps. Record, stop, upload to YouTube. And it's that easy. So I can make little training videos, or I can just walk through how to do something for my students, if you know, how to use my class website. Yeah. Screener.com.
I saw two things in a class a teacher did that was very, I thought, good. Was one was for students that can't go as fast as the other ones. They can replay this.
Absolutely.
And go back in the slowest, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing was that if you can't go to the class, you missed that class, and you really need that one for the next one,
yeah.
Then you can go into the computer and see that class.
Right. I think there's a lot of times where, especially with part-time classes, where we seem to lose students because they missed one or two and then they feel like, I just can't get back into it. And so our attendance will go down. I find that finding ways to share what we did on the web is really helpful for keeping them engaged and keeping enrollment up to the very end. People don't have to feel as awkward coming back when they've had a way to find out what happened and what they missed and catch up. For that alone, it's made a huge difference. So that'd be where I'd use a wiki, or where I'd, you know, have all these things posted, or I'd you know, let them know we use VoiceThread. Every class, you can always find out what we do on VoiceThread or something. Is there a comment to that? Anything else? Got 2 minutes. All right. So like I said, let me just show you again. Wikispaces.com. There's the address. And when you go there, this is where I keep presentations. So if you didn't see my presentation at ATESL, you can catch up here. But there's the presentation for Say Yes to the Tech. Yeah, the information about, you know, I'm at Mount Royal and I teach in the teacher training course. And so there's the PowerPoint itself and then all of the models I've put on my my Try It On Tech Wiki. So here's the embedded models. And I've got a few tutorials that I'll add to that I could give you to help you with them, that you can see what the presentation was. So I think that's it. Thank you very much.